Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the pitch is swung on and hit in the air to deep center. Away back. It is high. It is far. It is caught by Bradley. He stole a home run from Judge. Jackie Bradley went into the back end of the Boston bullpen, leaped, put his glove over the wall, and made a fabulous catch. He stole a two-run home run from Judge, which would have made it a 3-2 ball game. Wow.
Pretty good end to that weekend series with the Yankees, if you ask me. Pretty good end. Spectacular finish over at Fenway Park last night. Good game by David Price. Nice catch by Jackie Bradley Jr. Red Sox win 3-0. The first time all year, Jim Murray, the first time all year that the Yankees have been shut out. 617-779-0985 is the number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll open up the phones right away. We'll take your calls. It was, a good weekend series to talk about. Lots of things to get to. We're going to start with the game. Let me rephrase. We are going to include the game on Friday night as part of the discussion tonight, because I think that there are a lot of different angles to this particular series. And let me just say up front, too, by the way, that if you are thinking about calling this program tonight to bitch about the 16-inning game on Saturday night and the fact that it took 6 hours, we're all in agreement that the game was too long. We're all in agreement there. And I did enough bitching last week about the pace of play in Major League Baseball and the problems with the pace of play in Major League Baseball to last for a long time. So we've all talked about it ad nauseum. I really don't want to go down that road. I would rather focus on the other stuff, because for maybe the first time all year, and I don't know if it's a product of coming out of the All-Star break, Murray and Jimmy Stewart, our producer, I don't know if it's a product of that, or maybe just recharging the batteries a little bit, or well, whatever it was. Okay, I have no idea. Maybe it's just that we are now getting to the end of July, beginning of August, and the baseball season's getting more serious, and I found myself engrossed. I found myself far more captivated than I was earlier in the year. So we are going to actually talk about the baseball in these games over the weekend against the Yankees. Again, 617-779-0985. There are primarily three things I want to get to, the first two of which we're going to do a little bit later in the show. One is the weekend that John Farrell had, because I was as confused as anybody as to what the hell the Red Sox offensive approach was in this series against the Yankees. Farrell had my head spinning because I couldn't figure out how the hell the Red Sox were trying to score. Really blew my mind. And I also want to get to David Price, because that performance last night was was the best combination of stuff and execution slash command that I have seen from David Price since he has been with the Red Sox. And we are now a year and a half into his Red Sox career. A year and a half. David Price is a Cy Young Award winner, 2012, and he is a two-time second-place finisher in the Cy Young voting. He has finished first or second in the Cy Young voting three times in his career. Last night, in terms of his mentality, his stuff, and his execution, was the best I have seen him with the Red Sox. The best. And I want to get into more particulars on that a little bit later in the show. But here's where I want to start. Four-game split overall. Who had the better weekend? Who had the better weekend, the Red Sox or the Yankees? And I know that a lot of you think I'm anti-Red Sox and that I am contrarian when it comes to this team. A believer, and I tell you that I am not. However, I do believe that the series, the split, was more valuable to the Yankees than it was to the Red Sox. And here is why. The Red Sox are the favorites to win the division. They have been the favorites to win the division all year long. And so I thought this was a weekend. I thought this was an opportunity for the Red Sox to step on the Yankees' throats in their own ballpark and prove that they could actually beat the Yankees and smack them around. And instead, the opposite happened. They have now played 9 times head-to-head. The Yankees have won 6 of them. The Red Sox needed a 4-star pitching performance by their number 2 starter, in theory, in the game last night to salvage a split. And again, For basically the ninth time in nine games, the Yankees have shut the Red Sox down. The Red Sox have scored 16 runs in nine games against the Yankees this season, and I will give you the particulars batter by batter if you want to go over it a little bit later, because it's ugly. But the Yankees, to me, if you're a Yankee fan, you do have good reason here to look at these games and say, you know what? If we play the Red Sox again later in the year, beginning of September is our last series, or heaven forbid if we see them in the playoffs, we think we can beat these guys. Because you know why? Because on Saturday, Chris Sale pitched against us. He threw a gem of a game, and then they brought in Craig Kimbrell, and we still won the game. Sale has now pitched twice against us this year, and we beat him both times. Kimbrell has come in with a lead, and we've beaten him. So the Red Sox have thrown the absolute best they could at New York. The Yankees have hung in there, and do not misunderstand. I don't think the Yankees are necessarily going to make any noise in October. I'm not even sure the Yankees are going to get there. But in terms of being a factor in the race, I still believe they're going to be in it in August and September. And I still fear them more than I fear the Tampa Bay Rays. And I'd be willing to bet the Red Sox feel the same way. So that's where we're going to start anyway. What did you take out of the weekend series? What did you take out of the series? Because to me, even though it was a split, I give the edge to New York. The question is, do you? And as it pertains to Farrell and Price, we're going to get to them. I'm going to give you specifics on Farrell. Some specific things that happened in these games that absolutely irritated me to no end. I could not figure out for the life of me what the Red Sox were trying to do when they were at bat against the Yankees in this series. 617-779-0985. We'll start taking your calls right away, in fact. Marshall is in a car. Marshall, what do you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to add the point, you know, it's kind of hard that in 16 innings, you know, when you don't have an extra base hit for the Red Sox, it's kind of hard to score runs and win games.
Okay.
That's all I have for you guys.
Okay, so Marshall, and despite that, they should have won the game.
Oh, no, I completely agree. I completely agree. You know, he pitched a gem, and they left him out. They hung him out to dry.
Okay, so with regard to the absence of extra base hits, and this obviously gets into another topic as it with regard to the trading deadline and the Red Sox needs and everything else. I thought overall the Red Sox played a good series. They certainly pitched well, but when you look at them and you say the absence of power, how do you fix that? How do you fix an absence of power on a team? And if you want to tell me Todd Frazier at third base for the White Sox is the answer, I'm telling you, if you are pinning your hopes to a guy who's hitting .207, then that's a problem. The Red Sox need a hell of a lot more than a guy who's hitting .200 to solve their problems. The reality is their lineup issues are not going to get solved until the offseason, if they even get solved then. You're not going to find a guy to all of a sudden come in and be a centerpiece guy in your lineup on July 31st. I'd be shocked if that happened. Shocked. You better get used to this team trying to win 2-1 games, 3-2 games, or you better get used to them trying to manufacture runs in key situations and win. Because the idea of them being able to bash opponents over the head, I think that's gone. I don't think that's going to be in play. They can certainly hit better than they've hit, but the idea that they are all of a sudden going to turn into some power-hitting team because they added Todd Frazier? You're on drugs. Sorry. But this does bring me to the game Friday night, and for that matter, the games on Saturday night and Sunday night as well, and John Farrell's role in these games.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How do you gauge the greatness of a Mercedes-Benz SUV? By its ability to carry cargo or to carry on a legacy? Its show of strength or its sign of intelligence? The ability to cross harsh terrain or to break new ground? Or do you gauge greatness by the exceptional offer you got on your Mercedes-Benz SUV? Come in this Thanksgiving week for opportunities abounding. There has never been a better time to obtain greatness than right now. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
The business you run may be small, but your responsibility, that's always big. Real big. Like answering all of your employees' health insurance questions? That's on you, boss. But not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your employees can talk to who can help. Oh, and you're also responsible for company outings. Might I suggest laser tag?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Maserata show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a matter of guys being prepared for opportunities that present. You know that Chapman's got a fairly long delivery, particularly when you get a man at second base. So a heads-up play on those guys' part. You know, the in between the lines communication of when they're going to go, but it was available to them. We knew that coming into this one.
So now I'm going to sound like some old bastard and sit here and tell you I've been watching the Red Sox for over 40 years. 40 years. That double steal on Friday night with Aroldis Chapman on the mound, that double steal, as I like to say to Murray, I wanted to take off my clothes and rub myself with a stick of butter. Oh, my God, did I love that play. Absolutely, positively loved that play. And it was so un-Red Sox, right? Un-Red Sox stealing a base like that, let alone two of them at the same time in the late innings in a key play and a key comeback against the Yankees on Friday night. How could you not love that play? And I know what's coming next, because some of you out there are wise asses. So I know what's coming next. I thought you didn't like the steal. I thought the steal was overrated. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I have said the steal is overrated. I have never said it's useless. I said the steal is valuable as a situational weapon. That's what it is. Those of you who get all geeked up about Jacoby Ellsbury's 70 stolen bases or 30, whatever the number is, when he was here. The large majority of them are meaningless. But the ones that matter, Dave Roberts' steal, of course it mattered. Of course it mattered.
And this on Friday night, that really pushed Aroldis Chapman off an edge mentally after that happened. So, and I love the little exclamation point of that play, too, of Mookie Betts. So you really don't see all that much emotion from him. I've been clamoring for more. You know, the helmet flies off, he gets up, and he does the Tiger Woods fist pump, and he's like, let's go. You know, it was nice to see. I love that.
So it changed the complexion of the inning.
Without
totally,
any doubt.
Right? They got runners on second and third with nobody out, and all of a sudden now all they got to do is hit a ground ball or something to get a runner home. A wild pitch with Chapman is in play. A fly ball to the outfield. There's a million more ways to score with a guy on third than a guy on second. I loved it. Which brings me to Saturday. The Red Sox in the 10th inning of a game in which they blew a 1-0 lead because Craig Kimbrell allowed a home run to Matt Holliday in the 9th. And for those of you pissed off at John Farrell for taking Chris Sale out of the game in the 8th and extending Kimbrell, I didn't have a problem with that part of it. In fact, I look at it and say, if two guys are going to pitch in a 1-0 game, who do I want them to be? Sale, Kimbrell. That's it. Nobody else touches the ball. No one else touches the ball. So you can argue about Sale not pitching in the 8th to finish the 8th, but Kimbrell did get Aaron Judge out. Took 10 pitches, but he got him out. Now, maybe did it take away something from him in the next inning? Maybe. Maybe. I mean, certainly Holliday hit the home run in the 9th to send the game into extras. But my bigger gripes with Farrell over the weekend, and I'll make this quick and then we'll get right back to your calls. In the 10th inning on Saturday of a 1-1 game, the Red Sox had first and second, nobody out with Sandy Leone at the plate. Sandy Leone can bunt. Sandy Leone was due up. He was not at the plate. He was due up. He can bunt. He has bunted against the shift this year. He has done that. And for whatever reason, with a lefty on the mound, John Farrell decided to pinch hit Chris Young, in which case Joe Girardi went to his bullpen and brought in Warren, a right-hander, to face Young. And Warren annihilates right-handed batters. Annihilates them. 154 batting average against. Chris Young was brought here specifically to be a tool for the Red Sox to use against left-handed pitching. So now this year he's been a little bit better against righties, but I'll tell you what, look him up. The last 5 years of his career. Hell, look up his whole career. He's never hit righties, let alone a dominating one. So what happened? Young struck out. The Red Sox never advanced the runner. They get out of the inning. That was it. They didn't bunt there, and they didn't bunt again in the 11th when Pedroia got on, advanced the second on a wild pitch, and they could have moved him to third again. So one night after, they were able to get to second and third by a strategic good steal. Aroldis Chapman on the mound, Mookie Betts on second, Pedroia on first, slow delivery to the plate, boom, we're going to take it. The next night, only needing a run. They played like they were playing in a big inning, or playing for a big inning in the 4th. Instead of the 10th. And then they did it again in the 11th. And then, compounding matters further, and further screwing my head into the ground and confusing me. Last night, they were up 2-0 in the sixth when Betts got on and was on second base, if you remember, on the play that he hustled to get to second after the overthrow. So now Betts is on second, and Benintendi squares two times to bunt, but doesn't get it down. And then they take the bunt off, and Benintendi ends up grounding to the right side to get Betts to third. And you know what happened? Betts scored. Pedroia singled off the glove of the third baseman, and Betts scored. Had Betts been on second, he wouldn't have scored on that play. So how are the Red Sox trying to score against the Yankees over the weekend? It felt like it changed every day. Friday night, they were willing to steal and push the envelope. Saturday night, needing only one run and a guy who could bunt at the plate, they didn't bunt, played for like they were playing for a big inning, didn't score and blew the game. Then they did the same thing in the 11th inning of that game. And then last night, they did try to bunt, took it off, and the guy ended up advancing the runner anyway, which was effectively a bunt. I'm confused. I'm so confused offensively, I have no idea what John Farrell wants him to do now. None. I have no idea. And just quickly, to jump back to the Saturday bunt situation, Zhu Weilin would have been up next. In all probability, Joe Girardi would have walked him to load the bases. Play for the double play. You'd have had Mookie Betts up with the bases loaded. Mookie Betts up with the bases loaded. And if not, Zhu Weilin's up, I'll play for the contact and try to squeeze the run home. Hell, I might even squeeze it. Million options. Farrell doesn't bunt on Saturday, they lose the game. The other two games, when they actually executed a fundamental play to advance a runner, they won them both. You tell me, how do you want them playing? Or do you want Todd Frazier at third base hitting 200 and trying to hit home runs? This team, the makeup is what it is. You're not going to change the home runs here all of a sudden. So you know what? Start making smarter decisions late in the game, which means the manager is potentially a problem again. Bob is in Newton. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Maz, you forgot one important item about that 10th inning on Saturday night.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Benintendi was on first base, right? And Bradley hits a ball down the right field line.
Yes, he didn't advance to third.
The replay that all of a sudden Benintendi now is Willie Mays. He turns his head and looks at right field instead of running to second base and looking at the third base coach.
So, Bob, I'll tell you what, on that play, I thought the same thing you did. I thought Benintendi should have and could have gotten a third on that.
Of course.
Okay.
Krasinski said, as the analyst, he could have made it to third base, and he's about as slow as there was.
Okay, so I wondered the same thing. I wondered the same thing, and even so, they still should have been able to bunt the runners up. They should have been able to, but you're right. Could have been first and third very easily. But I will say this. Judge has a good arm, and at least they looked at it and said, you know what? We're not going to get thrown out at third base on the first out of the inning, so we're going to be more conservative. They still could have bunted the runners up. I still have no idea what Farrell was trying to accomplish in the late innings of that game. I mean, how do you not get agitated at that? Now, look, overall, last night you should be happy about. David Price in particular, we're going to get to him too. That's coming up next. It wasn't the weekend was not a loss. It was some good baseball this weekend. Good baseball. Ryan is in Framingham. Go ahead.
Hey, Maz. Thanks for taking the call. So I got a couple quick points that I'll make, and I'll jump off and let you talk to them. But before getting to that, just can you clarify something for me real quick? Because I hadn't heard the clip until you guys just played it at the opening here. Was Farrell saying basically that there was no set steal play on, but that they, you know, the runners basically have their own kind of free reign to do whatever they want in a situation like that?
So, Ryan, it did sound that way, and we've heard some speculation about this, that ultimately the runners have the right to make that read on their own. But if they do, see, that still comes back to the manager to me, because if you want to give your players the freedom to make a play, fine, that's fine. And he even said, we'll play the cut for you again if you want. In fact, Jimmy Stewart, the cut that we played coming in, we're going to play it again in a second. Listen to what Farrell says at the end. We knew what would be available to us in the series.
It's a matter of...
So, you know what? I let Ryan go. Jimmy, go ahead and play it.
It's a matter of guys being prepared for opportunities that they present. You know that Chapman's got a fairly long delivery, particularly when you get a man at second base. So a heads-up play on those guys' part. You know, the in between the lines communication of when they're going to go, but it was available to them. We knew that coming into this one.
Okay, so again, that part of it interests me. We knew that coming in. So the Red Sox understood that, hey, you know what? If we get a guy on second against this guy late in the game and you have a shot to run and you think you can get there, go. So if they're talking about it before the game, again, who do you give credit to? To me, the manager's part of it. Now, Mookie Betts recognized it, and Pedroia certainly recognized it and said, hey, we can run here. So Pedroia said, all right, I'm going to watch. If you go, I'm going. And they both moved up. Completely changed the complexion of that inning. So playing to the situation, they recognized there was an opportunity to run there. Then the next night, there was an opportunity to bunt, and they didn't bunt. And they didn't do it again in the 11th. When they're 3-for-58 on the season with runners in scoring position against the Yankees. 3-for-58. And coming into the weekend, by the way, they were 0-for-20. They went 3-for-38 over the weekend with runners in scoring position. Frustrating. Frustrating to know what the manager wants in those spots. What he also wants, by the way, is a setup man in the eighth inning. Because last night, stretching David Price out after going to Kimbrel, handing the ball from Sale to Kimbrel in the game on Saturday, was evidence that John Farrell does not trust anybody in that eighth inning, especially now that Joe Kelly's out. And I'm not sure he trusted Kelly all that much either, but the Red Sox need an eighth inning guy. It is the number one need on their team. And if you disagree, by all means, convince me otherwise. 617-779-0985. When we come back, we'll get into David Price's night and just how happy you should be about it and how would we be feeling today if Jackie Bradley had not caught that ball that Aaron Judge hit in the eighth inning. How would we be feeling today?
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the winter event.
The Mercedes-Benz winter event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
The business you run may be small, but your responsibility, that's always big. Real big. Like answering all of your employees' health insurance questions? That's on you, boss. But not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your employees can talk to who can help. Oh, and you're also responsible for company outings. Might I suggest laser tag?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
But what this could possibly do for David Price in this city and on this team is Sanchez got jammed, but he sends it into center field, and he is aboard. Now the question for John Farrell and the rest of the Red Sox, do you let Price face Judge?
I think the fact that he's not the tying run allows him to stay in. If this is a 2-0 game right now, I think Price is out of the game.
Uh-oh, that was loud. Bradley going back. Triangle. Leaps. Oh, he made the catch! He robs Aaron Judge. What a play by Jackie Bradley Jr.
Pretty fine line there for David Price. Again, you hear Carl Ravitch of ESPN say it. The night could mean a lot to the Red Sox, given how Price has pitched. That's what Ravitch said. That was in the eighth. When Sanchez and Judge were due up, Sanchez was giving David Price all kinds of fits. Sanchez then muscles a single into center field, and if you remember, in the seventh inning, the Yankees get some pretty good hacks at Price in that inning. In the first six innings, Price was terrific in this game. I thought he dominated the Yankees, and he dominated them with hard stuff. Fastballs in, cut fastballs in, all of that. He attacked. He went after the Yankees with hard stuff, and he attacked them inside. That's what he did. He looked like a completely different guy than the guy we've seen here, really, for the large majority of his year and a half in Boston. I'll say it again. Last night was the best combination of stuff and execution I think we've seen from David Price since he's been here. Last year, he had some good runs. He was throwing a lot of changeups. those stupid-ass backdoor cutters that I completely hate because it's finesse pitching, even if it is with a cut fastball. It's trying to come in through the backdoor. It's all, it was just all soft. Last night, there was nothing subtle about it. Price pitched with power, he pitched aggressively, and he dominated the game. He started to lose it a little in the seventh, and the Yankees started hitting him harder, and then Farrell sent him back out for the eighth and kept him in that inning. And again, it told me that Farrell looks at the eighth and says, in some of these big games, in some of these close games, I'm not trusting anybody in the bullpen other than Kimbrel. So Saturday and Sunday nights, he went directly from his starter to Kimbrel. Sale to Kimbrel, Price to Kimbrel. Both games. Both games. If you think the Red Sox have a need, a greater need than an eighth inning guy, you're out of your mind. With or without Joe Kelly on the disabled list, you're out of your mind. So Price last night, overall, damn good. Damn good. And so listen, we give Price a lot of grief, and most of it he brings on himself. Most of it. But if he pitches like that, no complaints. No complaints. You don't have to pick fights with the media guys all the time, but you know what? Just go out and pitch. And pitch like that, no problem. And by the way, after the catch, Price ended up getting out of the inning ultimately with a strikeout. My one huge complaint with ESPN last night is that they did not have a good shot of Price coming off the field last night with the fans behind the dugout. Because that is the money shot at Fenway Park. They didn't have it. They should have. He pitched a whale of a game last night. I don't know if he'll repeat it. I have no idea where it's going from here. But if we're going to be fair and we're going to be honest, he pitched his ass off last night. He pitched his ass off. 617-779-0985. All that got the Red Sox a split. They still have a lot of work to do. Toronto's in here for three games. You got to beat up on the Blue Jays. The problem is that you're not necessarily going to have your best starting pitchers in this series. Murray, who are the three that are going again? Tonight is...
Tonight's Eduardo Rodriguez.
Okay, unknown. He hasn't pitched in a while. Then Brian Johnson and Fister?
Fister is Thursday, so I would imagine that's Porcello on Wednesday.
Okay. So they are Pomeranz, actually,
Pomeranz, right?
So there you go. All right. Again, 617-779-0985. Ray is in Revere. Ray, what do you got?
Yeah, I think we're going to find out exactly what the ownership thinks of the team in the next couple weeks because they need a bullpen arm. You're dead on, Tony. They also can be pitched to. They've been shut out 8 times this season, okay? They lost a lot of thump, and that's what you need to avoid getting shut out.
Okay, so, Ray, how do you fix the second thing, though?
Pardon me?
How do you fix the second thing? When you say you've been shut out 8 times, how many guys in the lineup are you going to turn over?
I think you've got to get another slugger in the lineup.
Who?
Instead of putting him at a corner.
Who?
Listen, I'm not for Frazier. I'm for a bigger move, okay? And I actually think a Moustakas Cal player, I'm not going to say it's him, but I think you really need to make a big move. Because I think they have the elements. With Sale at the top of the rotation and Kimbrel in the pen, and they were a relatively deep lineup, they can win it. But, you know, guys, they went into the season worried about the luxury tax threshold, and they still really haven't made any indication that they're going to add payroll. I would go and get that arm and I'd get that slugger because I think they can win it. But, you know, if you step back, I think the Indians will
still... Okay, so, Ray, I'm going to let you go because you're breaking up. So, listen, obviously, they could use an everyday third baseman. It's been true all year, no question about it. But if you're going to add a third baseman, it's got to be somebody who can hit for power and hit consistently. You got to get... What they need is a middle-of-the-order bat. Where are you going to get that at the trade deadline? I love this one. Who's going to give away a middle-of-the-order bat at the trade deadline? So you say Moustakas type. Okay, fine. I like the idea of Moustakas. Sure. Kansas City's 2 games out. They're 500 now. They're 2 games out. Are they going to move Moustakas? I mean, I suppose if someone made him some silly offer, they would move him. But I don't want the Red Sox making a silly offer. I don't want them giving up some elite prospect for a guy who's going to be here two and a half months. And honestly, might not even be with the number 5 if you pushed it. Fine, they could use a lefty bat. I like the fit of the lefty bat, and I like the third base factor. But honestly, I would prepare myself for the reality that the Red Sox are not going to add any sort of significant bat. Todd Frazier. Really? People keep talking about Todd Frazier. He's hitting 207. He hit 225 last year. You'll get a home run here and there. You'll get a ton of strikeouts, too. I almost said a bad word, Murray. An S-load of strikeouts.
Way to catch yourself. That's why you're a professional.
You'll get that, too. No, Jimmy's got the drop button. There's always that as a backup. But you, Todd Frazier's not the answer. Make the bullpen trade. Make the bullpen trade. What I think is going to happen is that a team like the White Sox is going to say, oh, you want David Robertson? Or the other kid, Conley, is that his name?
Robertson's the only one I really know.
Okay, so the other kid actually has better numbers. And you'd be able to keep him for a longer period of time, but you're going to have to give up more to get him. My guess is the Red Sox are talking to the White Sox about bullpen help, and the White Sox are saying, okay, fine.
You got to take this load, too.
Bingo. You got to take Frazier, too. You want that guy? We'll give him to you, but you got to take Frazier. Like, that's how you're going to end up with a third baseman. You're not going to end up with him because he's the principal.
It's a throw-in.
It feels that way, Murray. I just think it would be a mistake to trade for a third baseman over bullpen help. Chris is in New Hampshire, wants to talk about Hanley Ramirez. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Matt. We have the hitter already with Hanley. Unfortunately, he's driving me crazy just because of the way he's playing. My question is, what would happen now if Ortiz was still here? What would Hanley be doing? He wouldn't be on the DL, I mean, because obviously he can play. So it's just frustrating because he was a better player when he was in the field.
Well, so, Chris, that's a good point. I mean, as it turned out, playing first base might have actually been a good thing for him because it forced him to pay attention. And I just want Hanley to hit. And maybe in the second half here, he'll amp it up and be ready to go. But if you're going by yesterday, how about the pinch-hitting appearance by Hanley in the ninth inning of the day game yesterday? Did anybody catch that? Did you see it, Murray?
Yeah, you couldn't have given a rat's ass.
Jimmy Stewart, did you see that at bat?
Shades of a Manny Ramirez Yankee Stadium appearance a few years ago.
Against Mariano Rivera. In the case of Manny, he took three pitches. Hanley actually saw five, but he didn't lift his bat off the shoulder of any of them. I don't know which is worse. The fact that Manny saw three and didn't swing and went back to the dugout, or Hanley saw five and didn't swing and went back to the dugout. The two balls in the count were not that far off. Five pitches, he didn't swing the bat once. And he was starting to bitch with the umpire about two of them. Farrell ran out of the dugout and prevented him from being ejected, probably because he knew there was a chance that Hanley would do something stupid and they get suspended for the night game.
Are you sure Hanley just didn't want to just see three pitches and take a seat?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe he was surprised that he got five. Maybe he was surprised that he got to that point. They need Hanley to hit, obviously. The other thing I wonder about with the Red Sox is, are they delaying making a deal? Because with every passing day, a little bit more salary comes off. So, for example, David Robertson, Murray, makes $12 million. If you acquired him right now, you'd have to pay him about five. In another week, maybe 2 weeks, it's four and a half. You following me?
Yeah, yeah.
And if the Red Sox are looking to stay under the luxury tax, maybe that extra $500,000 they can save makes a difference. So I wonder about that one, too.
Well, that's stupid. That's not a guy with an expiring contract. He's still due $13 million next year. So if you need him, get him now.
Okay. So, again, but you would only pay a prorated of the salary this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, the luxury tax resets. You go back next year and you get rid of another body in the offseason. And so I'm just saying, I don't know. I wonder.
But, Tony, the luxury tax doesn't play a factor on the Red Sox.
So they say. So to me, the Red Sox shouldn't be worried about the luxury tax. And if they end up going over, boy, are they going to look dumb if they didn't then make a bigger move for a team that they fully invested in. Like, they're sort of caught in between, right? On the one hand, you look at it and you say, well, you poured so much into this team as it is. You've traded prospects for Chris Sale. Now you're going to get the luxury tax be an obstacle at the trade deadline? I mean, that feels stupid.
Tony, it's the real money.
So I just wanted to mention quickly, too, the TV ratings over the weekend, because we talked about this, the whatever was missing with this Red Sox team.
They must be bad because baseball's dying.
So Friday night, Jimmy, 7.7. That was a Nesson game.
That's bad.
And we should mention that last week we talked about how the Red Sox average TV rating was a 5, and that was down about 20%. So Friday night was a 7.7.
Bad.
Saturday night was an 8.7.
Oh, nobody watched that long marathon of a game.
Yesterday's day game was 5.2.
Average.
And again, I would say day games typically are less anyway. People are out doing things. You're at your kids' games, your kids' events. Maybe you're at the beach. I don't know what the hell you were doing, but you weren't watching the Red Sox.
Streaming's affecting it.
And then last night, 8.5.
Oh, even worse.
So the three night games of the Yankee series, 7-7, 8-7, 8-5. Tonight, Toronto's in town. It's a Monday. We'll see whether the numbers are any better.
Dying sport.
I want to squeeze in a couple more calls quickly. Zach in a car. Zach, what do you got?
Yeah, one name I haven't really heard floated out there for a third base possibility is Adrian Beltre. I know Texas is kind of out of it as far as the division's concerned, and he's played here before. I think he'd be a good fit, middle of the order bat. I don't know what you guys think.
Okay, how do you guys feel about Adrian Beltre?
They should have never got rid of him in the first place.
So, but you like the idea of bringing him back?
Yeah, but what's the ask going to be?
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart.
And he's got a year left next year at $18 million.
Oh, he still has another year?
Yeah.
He does.
Yep. This year, the rest of this year, prorated 18, and then next year is $18
million. Oh, all right. See, I thought Beltre was a free agent. He's got another year left. Well, you can throw that one out then.
Should
That's
never
not
let
gonna
him
happen.
Go.
What are you going to do, play him in front of Rafael Devers?
Yes.
I want the Red Sox to focus on the bullpen. Just get used to it. You're going to have to win games 2-1 and 3-2. You're not going to, if you give up runs, you're not going to win anyway. Because you're not built that way. You were never built that way. You were never built to beat anybody 9-7 this year. You're built to win with your pitching. Focus on managing accordingly. You should be more worried about the manager than you should about the third baseman.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, they've proven that they can win these close games, but the dopey manager has to realize he shouldn't be looking for a big inning at stupid moments where he should be playing conservatively, like that 10th inning on Saturday.
I can't tell you how pissed off that made me that they didn't bunt on Saturday. First and
but
second.
But were you surprised? You've seen this kind of thing before.
But it blows me away. That's as basic as it gets. First and second, nobody out, extra inning game, at home. You have a guy up that can bunt. And you pinch hit for him and initiate a pitching change, which works against you. What a dope. Holy crap, what a dope.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com.
How do you gauge the greatness of a Mercedes-Benz SUV? By its ability to carry cargo or to carry on a legacy? Its show of strength or its sign of intelligence? The ability to cross harsh terrain or to break new ground? Or do you gauge greatness by the exceptional offer you got on your Mercedes-Benz SUV? Come in this Thanksgiving week for opportunities abounding. There has never been a better time to obtain greatness than right now. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.